This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 7:13 on the dot. You are listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Sharmila. And up next, nearly one-fifth of food that reaches consumers gets wasted. And this is according to the Food Waste Index report by the UN with its partner organization, Waste and Resources Action Program. So we thought today we would look at it from the point of view of the consumer, this consumer that is wasting nearly one-fifth of food, and look at perhaps how we could better track and reduce our individual food wastage.
So this report covers two-thirds of humanity and really goes across 54 countries. It comprises poor, middle-income and rich countries. And some of the key findings of that report, 17% of all food available to consumers worldwide in 2019 was wasted. And this is costly not just in terms of the immediate cost of the money, but it's also costly in terms of environment. It's costly socially. And of course, economically, it represents money that could be put to better use somewhere else. And co-author of the report, Richard Swanell, and I found this really sad. He said if all the wasted food was packed into 400-ton container trucks and arranged end-to-end, they would circle the earth 7 times. That is a staggering amount of wastage.
So to your point, the one that you mentioned, which is that this looks at people across different households, across different incomes, the report found that household food waste is a global issue. It's not limited to rich countries, although it's often perceived to be. And on average, each person throws out 121 kilos of consumer level food a year. More than half of those is disposed by households. And with that comes this really, I think, very sobering reminder, which is that the UN estimates that nearly 700 million people go to bed hungry every night. So I think, again, food waste is not a new problem. Even on this show, I think we've covered it a handful of times, so many, just very often. But I think the reason why we keep revisiting is because it keeps being an issue. And on top of which, I think for most of us who have been more responsible for buying our own groceries, because in the case of the MCO, sometimes if you don't have food in your pantry, you're not going to eat. You know, if you didn't think enough to have stuff ready and you suddenly think, oh, at 8 o'clock, I want to cook something. You know, so I think a lot of us have been buying more groceries, preparing more food. And I think when you do that, you do become more aware of how much you waste, how much went bad.
And ironically, also, though, the MCO and the pandemic has created this impulse on many people to panic buy and to stock and to hoard food. So you buy way more than you need, and things are perishable. They don't last long, they don't last very long, and therefore they end up going to waste. On top of it, I think one of the things I've realized living alone is unless you think and plan how you use your fresh products and so on when you cook, and kind of account for the fact that there is a particular time beyond which they're not usable, a lot of that ends up going to waste as well. And I think it's something that we do need to rethink in terms of not just how not to waste the food, but a larger idea of how we plan when we make our purchases, and perhaps even when we store and so on and so forth.
So we want to know, how do you deal with food waste? Do you find that as an individual, as a household, you find yourself wasting the amount of food that this report is finding that we do apparently? 121 kilos, each person on average, 121 kilos of consumer level food a year. Is this something that you recognize in yourself? What are you doing to address it? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. In the meantime, joining us now is Firdaus Nisha Muhammad Faisal, Director of Ecocentric Transitions. They work with communities and industries to educate people about sustainability. Nisha, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Hi.
So could you tell us about the broader impact that food waste has on environment as well as society?
Yeah, I guess we all are guilty at one point or the other of, ordering something and ending up with more than you could consume. you know, and where does this go? You know, I think this is something that people don't spend time to think about. What happens after that food has left you and has gone into the bin? What's the end of life journey? So in general, if you went to an eatery, it would end up in a large bin. It would get sent to a landfill in plastic bags. If it's at home, similar things happen. So all this rusting actually causes a lot of methane and carbon dioxide. And we all know these are the two big names in climate change and you know, global greenhouse gases. This is one portion of it. The other part is we eat a lot of wet food in Malaysia. I love my soups. People like their noodles. So all these things have a lot of leachate. You also have a lot of fried foods in Malaysia. This laces all our drainage with grease. And if you walk between back lanes, you can smell it. All this rancid oil just caking the sides of the back lane. And you have all these, how to say, food that ends up in the garbage that's sitting outside. And it smells, it attracts insects, it attracts dogs, it attracts monkeys in some areas. And, you know, these are all the simple things that we can see. And what we don't see on the back of this is everything that we waste means that somebody somewhere else is having a lack, because food, like any other resource, is quite finite, and there's only so much that is being produced, and it's being marketed to a very specific segment. So you have a lot of wastage from foods that are not getting to the people who need them the most as well. So I guess this is a part of the larger conversation about waste and food and the environment.
Now, that report found that more than half of the wasted food is actually disposed from households. Could you tell us what sorts of foods tend to go to waste?
Well, you know, the common case is people who overcook and undereat. So you're talking about maybe rice, you're talking about possibly dishes. So when you talk about food and the agriculture system, you're not just talking about the chicken and the vegetable. You're also talking about the spices you use. You're talking about the water you're using for cooking. So all this becomes food waste. And so if you're eating parts of the food that you've cooked and you've thrown away the other half, that builds this compounds, right? And then you've got a whole bunch of people, which I'm also, play a part in this. Sometimes we buy fresh food, we get really busy with our lives, and it sits in the fridge and it rots. You've got damages across the supply chain. This does contribute to a lot, but you know, I know and I've seen this where people go to the supermarket, they buy vegetables and they pick and choose exactly what they want and they leave everything out. So when it comes home, they still have this concept of, I'm going to eat the nicer food first and I'll leave that for later. Very few, like my mom is one of those people who will turn all the mashed up bananas into a cake. You know, so that's upcycling the food. So I think it depends on your palate as well, how you are consuming and what you are putting aside.
So what can people do to track and reduce the amount of food that they waste? Because I think, you know, just listening to you speak, there are so many habits, I think, that a lot of us do participate in.
I think habits is a really good word that you picked out, because, like, for instance, when we cook, some people don't eat internal organs, but when you buy a whole chicken, it comes with it, right? So you're not just talking about the finished product of the cooked food. You're talking about the making of the food as a house consumer. So you can always, if you don't eat, like my mom sometimes doesn't eat like necks, or she doesn't eat liver, or she doesn't eat other parts of the chicken. She then collects it and gives it away, gives it to a community food, food kitchen. So they then use it in their food. You're talking about behaviors of being savvy around what your how you consume your vegetables. So if you take only the tender bits, then the harder bits you could either boil to make stock, you could put it in your garden as compost. So you're thinking around the resource of food. You're not just consuming what you want and discarding. This throwaway mentality is what landed us in this issue. And like you mentioned earlier, 700 million people go to bed hungry every night. And you've been talking about this in DFM for many, many times, and it's an unresolved issue. It's because we are not changing our behavior and thinking about the things that we're doing. And I think that's a big component to this whole conversation.
So for a lot of people, the worry here is balancing between that desire to, you know, get nutrition, to make sure the food you're consuming is safe, but on the other hand, to not waste either. Is there a rule of thumb that one can follow to keep to this balance, I suppose?
I mean, a lot of our cultural upbringing says eat to live and not live to eat. I think that's a very strong statement. And you're talking about eating quality, nutritious food. And when you do that, your body feels, satisfied, and therefore your portion and your calorie intake will reduce. And because you are consciously choosing the right nutritious food, it will also mean that you are buying more greens and less grains. You're buying more, high-density foods than cheap processed foods. So this also helps your body recover. It helps your body grow. It helps you reduce on cravings. Because when you're eating less nutritious food, your body, your brain goes into a state where it's craving certain kinds of food, which either could be triggered by color, could be triggered by smell, could be triggered by particular tastes that express themselves. So the more you eat nutritious, high-value food, the less likely you're going to be eating less nutritious food. And I think this would also cover food safety, because then you're eating everything fresh. Does that make sense?
I mean, it makes perfect sense, Nisha, but I also wanted to pick up on something that you mentioned earlier, which was the desire to buy the prettiest things and to only cook food that looks best. And you're absolutely right. I see this happening all the time, and I think that there is this misconception about how food needs to look. What do you think we can do to get over this habit or get over this compulsion to pick only what looks best to us?
I think it comes from, understanding what the food, or, you know, if you're talking about vegetables, for instance, what does it look like? If an indicator of a healthy vegetable is many leaves on a stalk, if the indicator is less holy leaves, you know, so we must understand what we're consuming. And if the leaf has zero holes, if that's it, because then you're talking about chemicals, fertilization, and are you sure that when you wash it, it gets off, right? So coming back to the ugly or misshapen, I think the other part that people overlook in terms of our region is that sometimes our fruit and vegetables are plucked and it ends up in the stores overripe. So then it kind of splinters or it's a bit bruised. So it's also part of the handling process. It's part of just the tropical heat in our region. So the whole cold chain process does influence the look of the food that we get. And I think people have a very strong relationship to a tomato has to be red and a particular kind of vegetable has to be a particular color. So we have the standard images in our mind, and if it doesn't fit that image, we're going to reject it. So sometimes in terms of the heirloom food space, people are growing varieties that were less popular before because of the scaling of agricultural production. So I guess you can take some time, just do a little bit of research. Like when my mom first saw a white bittergourd, I think she was like, this is for real or is this like a gimmick? And I refer a lot to my mom because my mom's the primary cook in the house. You know, whatever my mom puts on the table, it's a privilege for me to just complain and say, Ma, it's a bit too oily, or Ma, what is this, right? But my mom comes back with the most amazing like questions, like, why is this bittergourd white? You know, how come, this carrot's purple, and why is it so expensive? Then, you know, I'll be like, okay, let's go back to square one. So carrot started off purple. And then because of this, and I get to share these with my mom and my niece, who's like 12. And she goes like, okay, then I just want to try maybe a different kind of vegetable. So then my mom will go out on a hunt. Because of MCO as well, they will look at recipes. So as they look at recipes, this generation of the 12-year-old and the 56-year-old, they're actually, or maybe my mom's 64 now, they're having this conversation about how do we cook it? You know, how do we eat everything? How do we not waste it? Because when you have kids, they are going to like pick out stuff like, oh, I don't want to eat the taugeh, or I don't want to eat the onions. And when you're cooking it yourself, your empathy for what you're putting in is a lot greater. Your choice is a lot greater. So I think to be more conscious about food consumption and food waste and food quality and food variety, we all need to be preparing some portions of our food and reflecting on the process of growing our food, because like rice, it's so labor intensive. And if we waste it, it's really, I grew up with my grandfather saying that, you know, if you throw away the rice will cry. You know, and I'm an adult, you know, and I still remember him saying that. And I know he said that with a lot of love, but, you know, it does haunt me even when I throw away stuff that's been sitting in the fridge. And, you know, it's something that we all deal with. It's not, we are not abnormal, you know. It's just that we have to work at it.
Let's talk about the process that comes after all of this, right? Food scraps and waste. Increasingly, composting is something that people recommend as an option to deal with these. What are your thoughts on that?
I think composting should be the last resort for food waste. The reason I say this is because it still is labor-intensive to compost. And there are so many countries that have, because of their pattern of consumption and the produce or the foods that they see, they have created circular systems. For instance, in Germany, where they eat a lot of bread, they even have a beer brewery that brews beer out of bread that people don't want to eat anymore because it's become stale. You have in Japan, where if you go to, if I'm not mistaken, it's Isetan, where all their central kitchens, after they have their restaurants closing, they take all the food that's left. It gets dehydrated over several cycles, and then it gets powderized, and that becomes a flavoring for a food or, the rice bowls that they make. So there are many, many new technologies in, waste food management. And I think we being creative around this is definitely important, you know, even at the home scale, you could always, you know, we have bread that we think is going to be a bit stale. We turn it into rusk. We put butter, we put a bit of sugar, we toast it till it's really, brittle. And then we dip that with coffee. So we're doing this at home. We're making, bread pudding. So we now need to look at these types of management systems as opposed to just composting, because many of us don't live in landed homes. We are dependent on discarding what doesn't fit in our houses. As urban population increases, more and more of us are pushed up into apartments. And I guess if you are living in an apartment, make friends with people who are gardeners, you know. Give them your coffee grounds, give them your veggie scraps, and let them compost it in their space. Because, yeah, composting at a larger scale is very, very labor-intensive. Either it's machine-done, where they run 24 hours with enzymes to digest and decompose the waste, or it gets collected from several hotels or several hospitals, brought to an external site to then be composted on the ground. So on one end, you've got electricity consumption, you've got the labor of watering down all that, you know, taking away the grease and then putting it in a machine. And then you have, on the other side, the logistics cost of collecting all the waste from different places and going to a site and then using machines to till and tip the compost as it matures into something that you can then use for your garden. So it's a very labor-intensive process. It's always best to end it with you instead of pass it on to the next layer.
Nisha, thank you so much for speaking with us. That was Firdaus Nisha Mohammed Faisal, Director of Ecocentric Transitions, talking about the best ways to handle food waste. We now have to head to our 7:30 news.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.